Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, greetings, peace. Thank you. You're listening to another edition of Religion Means Alive. We have a special show for you today. This is your host, Ismail Qadar, waiting on Imam Alfred Muhammad, Imam Mujahideen Muhammad coming in. We first want to say the grace and praise and the mercy, all the great things in this world, especially the blessings, belong to God. And we want to thank you for enjoying and having the time to turn off the, you know, whatever you're doing or giving us some attention on Religion Means Alive, a New Africa Monday. We have a beautiful show, beautiful update. I was in Philadelphia yesterday. I have some more news on that mission. This is a special time, I want to say, for New Africa Monday. And for those who are joining us for the first time, we want to let you know that New Africa, because I get it all the time, people ask me, what is New Africa? And I'm back in the house. So first we want to start with the ground zero. We don't like the word term ground zero, really, because we know that we really start on the base floor. But we're going to give you a brief understanding of New Africa. And we have a lot more. I see people calling in. And I thank you. The lines are filling up. We are now coming into a new awakening. And there's a lot of business to do. There's a lot of development to do. I want to just tell you what happened in Philadelphia yesterday as we spoke to the youth yesterday. So first, I just wanted to give you the honorable listening audience a gracious, I'll use the word shout out. We keep it a little modern, but a gracious welcome. And thank you for listening to a progressive show. And progressive, what we mean is progress. We don't mean progressive in today's standard. We mean progress report, because we always try to, we've been off for a minute. Imam Alfred has had many distinguished guests, and we've been off doing a lot of work. So we want to just update the audience with some of that work, some of that gracious work. But New Africa is a conscious state, a term coined by our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, in explaining that we are new people coming from new circumstances, these old circumstances from slavery and things that have happened to us in our past. We have become a new people in today's term. So we want to first let you know that we're new people. We're not holding up just the identity of black color consciousness. We're not holding up the identity of purely American, which we know we have contributed to America. We are African Americans. But we have to identify first and foremost that we have become a new people. So really, we want you to know New Africa is establishment on those principles. And also when the new people have a great gifts to give society. So society has been really robbed because many of our thinking, many of our sense of responsibility has been warped by old ideas, old myths, sometimes myths, mythology. Sometimes it is religion, religious mythology, religious myth, have really been shaping our life and our identity. So what you see in the surface of business and community and activities is really a reflection of this unhealthy state of existence that has been plaguing the African-American neighborhood, and we really don't see anything outside. Though we have great professions, we have great women like Oprah Winfrey, we have great media people, professionals, we have Bill Cosby, we have Today Time, we have musicians who have made millions, if you calculate it up, probably could get billions off the how much money we have made as artists, individuals. But collectively, we don't see any identity in the African-American neighborhood to say that this is an African-American neighborhood beside sometimes degrading concepts of poverty, crime, corruption. We know we have artistic expression, but we haven't seen establishment. So New Africa, we're going to be aiding this establishment in these cities with the God's help, And God has given us great leadership. He's given us great identity, and he's given us the blueprint for New Africa. Now it's about not just ruling up our seas. A lot of people say, well, time to get busy. Well, that's part of it, brothers and sisters. But to be true, any work requires a true identity, a true conscious understanding of that work, and for members to be united. We're not looking for millions of people. A small group can exist, and that's what I see happening, a small group waking up a bigger group, and a bigger group waking up humanity. So we shouldn't be in an identity also with this, that we, oh man, you know, our people don't listen. Our people don't, no. That stop giving me a if you're not going to really take back, don't just report, you know, because there are many people who are waking up. There's a goodness on the rise. Just the fact that people on this line shows the evidence that people who are identifying with change. I mean, I think our president, Barack H. Obama, has coined the change. He saw that the country needed change and he wanted change. And yet we do see that there's forces that out there that want to make it to seem that there has not been any progress. There's forces out here that make us see, lose our identity and lose out the progressive state that we are in, actually. And one time a wise man, scientist, told me a long time ago, he said, what would something look like traveling at 500,000 square miles? And I was trying to answer, you know, I was a little younger man. I was saying, wow, that's a deep question. And he said, well, you wouldn't see it because it's faster than the speed of these things, like light. It's sound, I believe he used an example. But he said it's faster than that, traveling faster than the speed of light. And so he said that you wouldn't be able to see it. So the way the scientists really measure change is to look at influences in the environment, things other than just something that's sometimes you can see with the naked eye. So sometimes with African Americans and our progress, we cannot really channel in the progress because we're looking at other things. We're trying to identify it. We see sometimes things that the media puts in our face. We see things, tragedies, great tragedies highlighted. And we don't sometimes see the great little simple things. I know there's a sister that I know that she's distributing organic soap and things, clothing. And one of the sisters even had a contract in Whole Foods. Now, these are just great stories, you know, that are not delivered to us. So we at Religion Means Alive, we seek to give you independent media. We want to share good works. This is definitely with Muslims are here, an establishment under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. But we are sharing with humanity. We're not just going to be something that just serves a purpose to eliminate group shared responsibility, shared problems. So I first want to say that New Africa, we have come on a long journey. We're still on a journey, but there's great things happening today. Now, the second thing is what I told you about Philadelphia. Well, yesterday in Philadelphia, I spoke to you. I had the privilege. I felt greatly honored to speak to the community of Philadelphia, the young people, and you would be surprised. I mean, many of you shouldn't be surprised. We have some great young people, really leaders in this community and in our community in general. They're visionaries. They have great insight. God has blessed them with great insight. Now, what has happened, and we know that scripture and identity, we know we're considered to be came from clay. So the molded, most of the environment molds many of these identities, suppresses some of this nature that's in the kids and our children. But they were reminding the adults of this human excellence that's in all human beings. And one of the questions the kids had is they wanted to know where their heritage. They wanted more information on their heritage and where they've come from, and also Islam, the religion of Islam, how it came into the community of America. And I thought that was important because that is part of our story, our New Africa story. It's a human story. I mean, humanity has celebrated the work of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the work of Malcolm X as someone who's progressive, and definitely the work of our leader Imam W.D. Muhammad. But God chose a people who were put down, who were cut out of the human family in the way they identified human progress, human identity, politics and social concern, business life, also material life. I think that today we don't really acknowledge how much of the institution slavery was in terms of business. It was to hold us back from resources, to actually lodge us in as a resource ourselves, a material resource. And many of us feel challenged today. We talk about the social and how wrong it was socially and many of those things, but sometimes we don't fail to see some of the great signs in the material, what it did materially. What was the goal materially? What were some of the answers from our leaders, from Dr. George Washington Carver, who looked at the material environment, to others who responded to this cause that we were inferior and went after the pursuit of land and pursuit of, we know we consider Black Wall Street, but we also have an identity with Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what he went at and sought after to prove. And we proved it. We proved it. But now it's time to come alive. Religion means alive. So we shouldn't come to any identity, any religion, to show us that we can't have a create an environment for our life, that we cannot have a sacred environment, a sacred school system for our life. To constitute our life, the universal school system should be in the universe. We should be studying. We, as a group, we've come into some energy products, some great energy, not energy like you look on the TV and you need some pills. No, we talking about energy that powers the cell phones. We have some great energy, some natural gas things we've been working on, exploration. So energy is even new, and most of our children are not exposed, or when they do expose, they are exposed, they have to work for another company, have to work for another school. But we're designing curriculums right now, a curriculum. We're designing a curriculum right now to really advocate, you know, exploration, our children using in math and science. I think the statistic yesterday was revealed that China and India, they're honorable. On the honor roll, people who are in students, they have more people on the honor roll than we have as students in America combined. So this shows you that we have to strive for excellence. And I don't want to be just telling you what you probably already know. Some of you may not know. But we do know that this has to be a standard. The sister was saying yesterday that we shouldn't just someone that we should celebrate someone and get good grades, but it should be a standard that's expected from our students. It's expected from us to do excellent. And we always say, oh, praise due to God, you know, to remind us to be conscious of that great gift that we're getting and being intelligent and all that. But we should also have a standard of what's expected. But yes, now let's carry on. New Africa. New Africa. Okay. What I saw, for me, I've been on the privilege to work with the Mosque Cares, the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Very important that we're no strangers on this show to solid support of the Mosque Kids and the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We left Savior's Day. I don't think I have spoken to you since Savior's Day. I had one of the best, beautiful, it was a thrilling thing to go to Savior's Day. For those who are non-Muslim, I think it's important for you to note that Savior's Day is a time for us. We spent time recalling our life of how Islam was introduced in America to most of us, to the Nation of Islam. But as we came into the light of Islam under the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and we recall the pioneers, the great work and efforts of the pioneers, and we also recall the great teachings, some of the great highlights of things we focused on that made us successful. So we talked about eating to live, a lot of the pioneers. And if not, if it was just only to stand with our pioneers, is a great. I mean, without the speeches and without the great networking and dealing with resources and talking to people and honor, coming out in honor of this work. It was great. And I just had enjoyed myself. Me and Imam Mujahideen Muhammad was together. We had a great time at the convention, at the Savior's Day, excuse me. And I was blessed to open up for my father as he gave an address. I was blessed to open up for my father. And I just want to say that we are really looked at by the world. I think we are really in a unique position to carry out this mission. Now, we will be going to Detroit as a public announcement. We will be going to Detroit. Detroit came out in full effect. It was breathtaking to see the pioneers coming from Detroit to Savior's Day. And we should know that this was the temple, number one, where Mr. Farad talks and met, where Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through Sister Clara Muhammad, brought her husband to meet Mr. Farad, a man that she knew was using she knew he was waking many people up, and he had great things to say, and she thought it would be great if her husband could get the message, to understand the message of this great new message. And they met, and Honorable Elijah Muhammad, at that time, he was in the temple. He came and joined Nation of Islam. And we want to recognize that this is prior to Honorable Elijah Muhammad becoming recognized as the leader of the Nation of Islam. So Detroit is very historical, and it's no coincidence that I believe 70% of the city is African-American, and the rest also a very populated Muslim city. But Detroit, we got to recall some of the history. We also got to see some of the things President Obama is doing industry-wise, with the car bringing back the auto industry. And then New Africa Monday, it's important that we identify in the created the environment as Muslims. We don't want to, we're not just so living in the heavens. We also are talking about earth. So I want to bring current events in the areas. I believe that most of us, if we don't even understand our environment, it's hard for us to make progress. One of the things Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X, as he was known, he understood the importance of each city and the environment. Most of the ministers had classes on the cities. Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave great wisdom and knowledge on talking to our people in each environment of the city, certain issues each city had together, but they were uniquely different issues in those cities. And even in the Constitution, we should understand this, from waterways to dams to what is more popular in the agriculture in certain cities. These are all important for our students and everyone to know about environment. And so you can't make progress in economics or resurrecting your city if you don't understand your environment. So I wanted to talk about Detroit because we should be, inshallah, God willing, we should be in Detroit for Meshe Wali Muhammad's fundraiser. It's going on this week. We'll be there Friday for Juma. I believe the president of Mosque Cares will be there, the Waruthuddin II. But I know for sure we have an invitation tomorrow in New York, very important historical invitation in New York. But in Detroit, we're working on a strategy. I'm working specifically with a group of leaders in Detroit, very interested in resurrecting the city, making this New Africa. I'm working also in New Jersey. I want to name some of the areas right now that we have concentrated effort, and we have some great people in place in these areas. Now, what I suggest for all those listening to the broadcast, and I've been suggesting this for a minute, and we're working on it ourselves, is to be working together with in block radius. To work together, don't start, you know, many of us want to start and take over the whole area. You say, oh, well, I want this whole city. Well, it's great, but just like your home, you know, you first want to start with your children, and then you could also move from your children to other children and teaching. But you want to make sure your children is secure and God bless. Now, sometimes we're in unique circumstances where we may not have children, or we may not even, our children may be so far gone, you know. And Allah does give us free will, as much as we will do our best to teach. But people do make decisions. So that doesn't mean you stop because your children may not be mature enough for the message or enough. But you definitely want to start with a functionality of your home. So our home, we know, is America, but we also know our home is a neighborhood, an environment, Right now you might be hearing me from Baltimore, might be hearing me from Atlanta, you might be listening to me from Detroit or Chicago. But this is what's the key, is we want to first start with Block Radius. And then another thing we want you guys to do is get a map, you know, get a map of your city. Look, first and foremost, get a map. Because I find too many of us don't really, my father was saying this, that when we come into these areas and when we meet, sometimes go to convention, more of us should be traveling with maps. And we should be leaving after the event to go out to the city and uniquely look at the city, look at opportunities, look in ways that we could actually work on projects in the environment, in our neighborhood. So I wanted to say that too, that we have to start using a method. Imam Muhammad said, don't stop using the method of things that work for us, even in the Nation of Islam. So we want to continue to build like that, and stop looking for. I keep telling you, we have about 24 more million keys, right? They use the Nation of Islam terminology. Well, now today we have more population African American, but don't think you need 24 million to make a change. I mean, even if it's 5 or 7 group members working with each other, 9, 11 coming and coming out as we meet at conventions, meet Ramadan sessions, we meet just traveling, you know, sometimes we and giving updates with each other. You can start with a small group, you know, you can start with, if you need, call us, you know, call us up. But we could start with a small group, and it only takes a few to wake up the many. And our goal should be first to resurrect our spiritual life, cultural life, educational life, and business life. These four rivers have to be resurrected in our neighborhoods. We cannot continue to exist in a neighborhood as floaters, as spirits, as spooks. It's a very bad sign when you have more masjids or mosques, whatever you language or terminology you want to call it, have more churches, temples, or whatever you want to your knowledge of it, and you don't have an existence of life in the neighborhood. You don't have existence of these rivers, cultural institution, business, educational institution. And so we want that to be known, that you could start with Block Radius. You could look at 5, maybe 4, 6 is better when you have maybe a 3 or 5 block members or group members. And you could also meet with officials in your neighborhood. It's not going to be based on politics. It's not going to be based on pure business. It's not going to be based on pure business. You know, business is a need. But really what you've seen is your taqwa, your reverence, your piety. This is what's going to make us successful, our sincerity. I believe that the truth of religion is alive, means alive. But as you ask the prophet, Prophet Muhammad talked about religion is sincerity. So we need sincere people in our neighborhood. We have those who have money and they've been corrupt in the neighborhood, maybe with their drugs, maybe with their misinformation, maybe with their lack of knowledge. But we need to now have that. And then we also want to have humility, because everyone learns from somebody. The things I'm giving you today, I learned. I'm not born in this world. We all came in this world as babies, not knowing, but Allah bless us with the human excellence, able to be molded. And so we all are a community. Our bodies are a community. We have two eyes, and you know, even our eyes are forming us of decisions. Sometimes our mouth, it can be a tool to use it. You say, oh, okay, so, but we collectively use all the resources of our five senses when we come into understanding to make decisions, if we are wise. And many of us are not wise, and we struggle with making decisions collectively. But we are, even in ourselves, there's signs that we are community. So we're not going to build bridges, we're not going to build banks, we're not going to build without having a collective information on that subject. Now, it doesn't mean that you need 22 million people to build such a thing. It doesn't mean you need 10 million people to build such a thing, because you can do it with 5, trust me, and go for odd numbers. There's power in odd. I told you, the night of power. That's why we're looking at, during Ramadan, it's on odd nights. This is a very, it's spiritual, it has a spiritual message, but it also amends organizational structure. Odd is a very strong message. It allows us to vote. It allows us to come to a conclusion. One is even odd. It's odd in what we know. It's not odd in the way the world. We know that there's only one creator. But in terms of how we should be voting in the households, and we should always have a collective decision. It's better to have a decision, even a rush decision, than have a no decision. I heard the imam say that himself. I got a lecture that would say that. But we know that's not the goal, to make rush decisions. And that's why we want to have more of you brothers and sisters in the resources, in the information, and also doing this. So we want you to understand that 1, 3, 5, 7, when you have businesses and you have a board, or try to vote in that so you can make a decision. All right? You don't want 4. You don't want 6. 3s and 3s sometimes causes division. And this is what has also sometimes makes the world such a standstill situation sometimes. But we want you to understand that you can make that. Second, while we're looking at the concept of land, we need to look at the concept of responsibility, because many of us have been blessed to see in the Nation of Islam the reality of great big facilities. But they say maintenance. They say our people have a problem with showing, maintaining institutions, maintaining learning. We have school, Claire Muhammad, and one of our struggles is the maintaining. But one of the things I see with education, which to do, you know, don't look at education as a concept of going to school, getting good grades. That's not the education that we are looking at. We're not looking at that only. That's one form of education. And we know the education starts from the mother. But also, when you're talking about responsibilities of the home, this is educational. You know, to say the garbage just comes out on Wednesday and Friday, you're informing. So education will be behind informed decisions, right? So we also have informed decisions on how to get things done, how to throw the recyclables out, how to put the garbage in this pile. These are small, but don't underestimate how God speaks the highest forms of things in sometimes small bodies. And so you can measure that progress, and it starts with small things. So we want to understand that we have not really been maintaining the value of these properties. And we know that in Islam, it's the Quran and the Bible also, and if you're a Christian or read the Torah, that this is a manual. This is evidence. It's clear evidence, but it's a manual for us. So you can't be, it's like having a car and you're not, you know, doing certain things, not putting gas in your car. You're not following the manual. You're not going to be successful. So the prayer for us is important. It's important, right? But we also know that when we make prayer, we also connect the production, the falal, the farming term, the cultivation, to be cultivated. So what we're saying as Muslims, that we don't have a true society until we are cultivated, until we are producing. And to you men out there, I will say to you that it's an embarrassment if we have a group of men and we don't produce. And you see, this is the real term that they use for asexual, or what we later see it comes into the homosexual. But we should look at that, the homo identity, that word was a word in science that identified they called a human being, homo sapien. So what we're really looking at, and I could teach this science later, is not even talking about a sexual science. The sexual nature is used to put down the people, to be confused on the people. I mean, people have different opinions on that, and I don't want to spend this show talking about that. But I do know that when you have a group of men that can't produce, that can't come up with an environment, can't produce the environment, there's something that has gone wrong in that manhood. There's something that has gone completely off, and it's unnatural. And the unnatural identity is what really it breaks down the science, the unnatural concept. The unnatural is, meaning it's not based in feature-based learning, it's not based in creation, it's not based on a pattern. So we are here to reestablish the pattern. We're not here to attack others. We're not here to destroy others. We're here to reestablish the pattern. And that's what has happened in our neighborhood, that our pattern, the pattern has been off, the pattern of identity, the pattern of identity is been missing even. You know, many of us, like I spoke to young brothers yesterday, some of them don't even know. They say, hey, man, I don't know what my role is. I don't know what my pattern is. So I want you to understand that we have a duty, a true duty, to remake the world. Not just a phrase, brothers and sisters. It's not just a book, but we have to remake this world. We are remaking this world. And believe me, there's a freedom here. Don't be scared. And I'm tired of that talk. Oh, you know, they're going to let us remake. They're not going to let me do this. We ain't going to let. They're never going to let. Well, you got to take back your power, brothers and sisters. Anytime you're looking for approval, you're not yet in the new people. You're not yet. You're still in the old spirit. You're still looking for approval. You're still looking for someone else to validate your existence. We got to get out of that validation. We're not in that validation no more. We're in a new time. We're in the best time on earth. There has never been a better time than the time we're in now, and it's proven. If anyone wanted to debate me, I would. If I had more time to debate, I could take this argument and be a Muhammad Ali of the debating scene. God bless. And I say that out of humility and humbleness, because I could show you so much evidence that we're in the best time in the world. But in that time, sometimes when you're at your best, you're going to have your worst come out. This is the facts. What I'm going to share with you now, as we go into maintenance of our neighborhoods, that things have to be maintained, all right? Most of us should understand that things have to be maintained. I remember a great book that we used to read for history, African-American, was called Things Fall Apart. And I hope you brothers could pick up that book just to review it, but Things Fall Apart. Well, I'm saying, too, that things have to be maintained. Our religious life needs to be maintained. Our cultural life has to be maintained. Our business life has to be maintained, of course, and our educational life has to be maintained. And the way we maintain it is shared responsibility. Ain't nobody else going to maintain it. So we have to maintain it, and we have a manual to maintain it. We have a manual, and we have to respect the best tradition of our past. And what I mean by respect the best tradition of our past, which was a theme of the Mosque Kids Convention, is, you know, many people who have old common sense. Since the common that we say the sense is, it hasn't been that common for us. There's so many things that have been tried, attempted to destroy. But you go to China, you have proverbs, you have ancient stories. We have to start identifying with our history first and foremost. And we'll get a certain message. We'll get a certain story, a picture. So when you look at Superman, these are myths, but they protect a picture of identity for those who are culture identifiers and culture. I call them culture gatekeepers, guardians. They promote certain things for and our imam gave us more insight on this. But now is the time also for us to create a social order, social identity. So if you know you're a new people, you know that there's a lot of work for this to be identified. There's a lot of work. And if we don't do it, someone else will do it for us. If we don't create the musical culture or the cultural, and culture is not just music. Culture is education, too. Education is a big part of culture. Remember, the imam said that culture is not just music and entertainment. That we love the music we have. We know we could create it. It's powerful when it's done right, but we also know that culture is education. As a matter of fact, many of the films, you can't make a good film if you don't know education, if you don't know the storyline. You can't even tell falsified information if you don't know the facts. You know, so we got to realize that all our enemies, those who work against us, know these things. But we have to recreate this culture. We have to maintain this culture. So we maintain and maintaining maintenance of these identity, maintenance of this identity requires us to be liberated. Okay, brothers and sisters, we're not responding. We're not waiting for anybody else. to create our own, what we can do ourselves, and we've proven to do it ourselves. So that's the next step, that this is proven and tested. After the maintenance, you have to, you really should believe in the first step. That's your first step. You should believe as in your faith. You should believe. But sometimes we go through life, and so God tells us that we will be tested. We will be tested, all right? So you're saying you're going to establish New Africa. You don't think you're going to be tested? You're going to be tested. You say you are the model community. You say you're the model human being. You don't think you're going to be tested? You're saying that you, so God, whatever God creates, the Satan rushes out to test that thing, to make that thing, to say, okay, God, you say this human being is this or that, but I'm going to test him to say, and I guarantee I'll take a lot of them away from you. And God's showing this, God's emphasis is his plan, not even that so much just a human being. God's plan is that the human excellence will rise, because God knows that a few of us will go here and there. Few of us will be tested, because he gave us the free will. He gave us that will. That makes us high over the angels. That makes us high over any life that we see out, animals. That's why we're not animals. We're not animalistic. We can become animalistic if we appeal to our lower nature, but we are not animals. We have something higher than any creation, and it should humble you. It shouldn't make you arrogant. It should really humble you, because you know you didn't create that. You didn't put that in you. You didn't even put your DNA in you. You might have had a role in assisting it, but that was through God. No mother or father has put the sperm system in or the egg system. No one has been able to do that. All we have been able to do is really study that system and study it and then create another system. So God said he's the best of all creators. So he acknowledged that you can create, but he's the best of all. So he's the best of any creation. We create computers. We create airplanes, but he's the best of that creation. He created a bird. Bird thousands before you came into existence. This was the brain has been in existence before this computer. And the computer still can't predict. It only predicts analytical off of the input we give it. But it really can't give us a sensibility of what man to choose, or what leader to choose. It can't do that. And if it does, man, you know what? We in trouble. Hey, that's my little joke for the evening. But anyway, we have to understand that and even a computer must be maintained as we get into maintenance. A computer, your computer must be maintained. Your brain must be maintained. And a lot of us, you know, we say, oh, man, brother, I got to get married. Or, you know, sisters say, oh, brother, I need to marry. Well, you have a marriage. You have marriage. God bless. Marriage is great. It's half your religion. It's half your being. They call that in the common land, it's your other half. But do you know that even in marriage, most of us coming to a marriage should be in a maintenance station, should be able to be maintaining our bodies, keeping our minds. And actually, when we have a sexual nature is enacted and have children, you know, we feed that, and then we feed our stomachs. We talk about having a wife or a husband that can cook or get a meal. You know, you're feeding your stomach. But how many of us are maintaining our minds? So feed your mind, constantly feed your mind, constantly read your environment, constantly think about what's going on around you, constantly read the excellence in your environment, meaning don't just read the New York Post, Daily News, read the New York Times. Don't have enough understanding of what you're doing. And brothers and sisters, I know a few of you probably can't read, and I'm not making fun of anyone who can't read, because that's I won't say just tragedy. It's something that we have to work on and assist as a people, because it's just one of the things that we want to strive to correct. So we know those of us, and we don't look down, because that's not why we're getting this insight. To look down on those who can't read or who can't see. But we should know as scripture that we have identity to read. One of the first things given the prophet was to read. And he said, I'm not of those who read of that nature. But he wasn't talking about it so much as we learn. I mean, I know Muslim scholars would debate me this all day that he could read. The prophet could not read at all. But we have a different perception, okay, on that. We won't debate, but we have a different perception on the actual understanding of what reading is, to true reading, scripture reading, to read the scripture, to read heavens, the heavenly knowledge, to read, to have the insight. Most of you could read. I see that we have a big problem in understanding our position in scripture. And even those who could read the Arabic and Hebrew, and still haven't met so many people. I met a few, but I haven't met so many people who have to understand where they at today, can they are able to interpret their position today. And we find that the Prophet Muhammad, prior to that, he had the excellent nature, but he wasn't yet called to the prophethood. He wasn't in that mold of prophethood, but he had the excellent character that exists with a prophet, meaning he was definitely the man for the mission. He was definitely the man for the mission, and his character was already there. They didn't have to look outside anything else, and you have to go into even scripture, because they could look at that perfect pattern that was among them, living among them. So we have that in that. We had that too. We have that as a group life, but I could give that another identity. But I want you to know that pattern is important. It's important for us to see the pattern. It's important to see what was taken away from us as we've been here and keeping that God-conscious nature, what was protected when we did that in the 1920s and the 1800s, what some of the best of our leaders did. And that's what I was talking about, the best traditions of the past. We used to have things that would help us survive in the big cities. Our ancestors knew we were going into big cities and a different environment. Things were changing after slavery, and they would do a lot. It would hit us with a lot of old wisdom. We call it hikmah. Now, Malcolm X, he was one of the best men I heard that was able to use still the language, the environment. He used roosters. He used all type of language that was really a symbolic form of what we were giving also in our life, in our past. And I don't think we say it as much. Some of the rappers, I've heard some of the poets try to keep it alive. I've even seen Tupac try to keep certain things alive in his language. But many of our parents, we are missing this light, this moral guidance to pass on information. So education is also us using that. And remember, that could become a movie. That could be in the culture scene. That could be in the music scene. That could be in the jazz scene. And this is what was kind of missing in the culture, is the education. Hipping the people. We just hop, but not hipping the people who are hopping. Not telling stories. And what's missing in the movies is education. We have movies on sex. We have movies on a man burn his clothes. We're not even showing movies like the Great Renaissance and the Harlem Renaissance. So I want you writers to write films, to write to utilize this time to write great plays right now, okay? Because plays and that's what I'm going to get into, my man Dame Dash from Harlem. That'll be my next discussion with Africa. But write the course of our story, our history. Even the Quran in itself is some beautiful stories. Now, these are directly emphasized stories from God, because they represent something in the creation itself that have changed man's course of understanding, man's course of revelation, man's course of engagement, man's course of, like the prophets in ascension. They all represent of the seven, really eight types, because Muhammad was the eighth. But they represent society, social orders. We could go on and on. But we know that there's an emphasis. We do have a story for these men. Prophet Muhammad, we go into his uswa. We go into his seerah, his life. But the context is a story. Sometimes we have a hadith, but we don't understand it because we don't understand his story. We don't understand the treaties he made. We don't know the agreements we made. We don't know when we even read the Quran. If it's not in the context of the great story, we won't understand. What you mean? When was this verse revealed? What did it apply to? What did this verse apply to for this specific moment? So everybody, we and you have a story right now. And this is what history is, nothing but his story, they say. But his story is very important. So don't underestimate the power of your story. We are not Arab people. We don't have the Arab story. That's not our story. We respect that story, but that's not our story of how Islam came into America. And we are no more in that time as old people to wrestle with dresses and culture and beds. And that's all great. If you want to live that way, that's good. I'm just telling you that it's not gonna do anything to bring out the light of this reform, this reformation, this new mind, this renaissance, this neighborhood. And that's why we have all that, and we still have the neighborhood we have. So we have to understand that we have to come into a unique identity and stop robbing from the human family. Because when you come into someone else's identity or someone else's story, I don't care whether it's Arab, I don't care whether it's American or whether it's European, when you come into somebody else's story and you don't put your story through your eyes also, you rob even the human family of the identity. God said he made us different so we would know each other. So he didn't say you were to make us the same. He said he made us different. So we are the same in the sense of our human identity, Father, but God is the one who made us different races, different spices, different smells, different scents, different cultures, different language, different verbs, different ways that we say things, different colors, even colors, the ways we color our houses. And so we don't rob the human family by not adding. We used to call that in school a slacker. A slacker was someone who was studying the class and he would just study the answers. He wouldn't want to do the homework for himself. He would just want to study and get an answer kit and someone else to do his homework. And what wound up happening is he would, when the time for the finals and the teacher had put that extra hard system on him, and, you know, she's roaming the class and no cheat sheet is available, he failed. He didn't fail. And even if God, by God's permission, he was able to bring the cheat sheet in. The next level, someone axes him, which really is the detriment for mankind, because now you say he's really in his field of knowledge. And he comes out, he doesn't know anything. So he's hurting the welfare, just like the health that President Obama is showing, that he's endangering the public by being a slacker. And that's exactly what we have in many of those who don't contribute with their identity, being slackers. We're being slackers to our even Muslim world. We're not even giving the Muslim world the true identity of what it is to be a Muslim here in America. And I just wanted to say that's part of New Africa. Part of New Africa, and if you're a Christian, bring in your identity, right? We're not going to be a hubcap. And many Muslims got to understand this speech, because New Africa is also not going to be something that's, it's going to be a light like Medina was. And if we study Medina, we have to understand that this has to be religious tolerance. We cannot come into New Africa and say, you know, this is just Muslims and you African American. No, we're not a clique. We got to welcome the best traditions. Now, we don't want anybody coming in with challenging or disrupting the freedom district that we have. But if those, they are going to be good Christians, right? There's going to be good, those some who just want to live a good conscious life, want to get in a clean, maybe learn from you. But we want to invite, right? So we wanted to celebrate that understanding. And also, as African-Americans, just like you had a grandmother, you had a father, you had a grandfather, you have to respect, that's part of your religion, is to respect the womb that bore you, but also to have respect for your parents. So we want to respect our parents. We have parents. Frederick Douglass was a parent. I was a father of ours. We have to have respect for Frederick Douglass. So he was one of our fathers, one of the sons of a new people. Wasn't even given no hint that Frederick Douglass would come, and he spoke the best of that day and used his freedom to fight for our freedom, our true freedom. And so many of our entertainers, we encourage you to fight for freedom, to use your tools to fight for freedom. We encourage some of our educators to use your tools of education to contribute to more of the education. And what I mean by education is not just education in four walls. We will never get a true educational structure if we just exist within four walls. We need education on a daily basis. This phone call is education. What you'll do after this is education. I trust in you. I believe in you. what you do as mothers, some of the sisters online. You are the first a concept of education. Brothers, say that one more time. I want to say that one more time. To our woman, you are the first concept of education. That's why we value. And, of course, we want our sisters to go to school and understand school and to be respectful to school, because you are really the first identity for our children to understand things from vowels. Doesn't mean the father should be there and absent. No. Doesn't mean he shouldn't be sharing. But our Allah bless you, God bless you, to carry the child, which he created, but you were the vessel of that, the womb of that, the community of that mind. And so you must protect that mind of all costs, consistently secure that mind. And man, you must start becoming more of a man and creating a better environment for your woman. You must protect her, and protect her how? Well, God says you are the maintainer, right? You're a maintainer, but you're a provider and maintainer. Protector, you're a wali. So you protect too through finances, but through material establishment, you have given muscle, you have a stronger material in your body. You know, you have some muscles. Now you could do certain things with those muscles. Now some have created great construction, build roads, but we have to realize that we believe in ourselves that we can do this. So it's time to clear up all the fitna. It's time to get united, and it's time to start establish with your own backyard, your neighborhood. So don't worry about Switzerland. Don't worry about Sweden. Don't worry so much about going into Europe. You know, worry about where you are at, the shores of North America. Now, I have some beautiful brothers over in those areas, and you worry about your area, brother. So I'm not talking about you, brothers and sisters, because I know you're over there making reform, too. Don't underestimate how powerful our message is. Perhaps, you know, we have such a good response in those areas. It's shocking to me. Even in Africa, people are listening. We are definitely talking to cleaning up and contributing to this, what we have here in America, to what we built in America, to the legacy of what our ancestors, and we owe them. And now we have a president as a sign. So that gets into what Damon Dash said. I don't want to make this about Dame Dash because, you know, so many of us are controversial. But he explained, he had an interview. He went to Power 105, a radio station in New York. For those who don't know, I'll give you a brief review of Power 105. We talk about different things on this show. So we have to know about our environment. We're not going to make progress. Well, Power 105 was a radio station, was in competition with Hot 97. Hot 97, one of the biggest radio stations of hip-hop music. Basically, New York is such a commercial empire that most of the major companies that control our culture scene their headquarters rest in New York, from Sony to Time Warner. You can name them. New York, and that's what Wall Street is a signal also about. This is why your environment, knowing your environment, is key, because you walk past New York, just think it's New York. You won't understand it. Michael Jackson challenged, and with Tony Matola, he challenged some of the executives here in New York, Sony. But let me get to this thing that we see with Dame Dash. Well, he goes to Power 105. Power 105 has been challenging Hot 97 and been getting great ratings recently. It was shocking because no one thought that anyone could go against Hot 97. They basically are the top radio station in New York, top radio station in this country, and they make most of the program decisions for most of the radio stations in the East Coast. And now they actually have a lot of icons that have come out of this culture, from Summer Jams to, you know, just influencing. If you have a video or a radio, you have to come through that vessel. Now, the radio has been much more corrupted over the years. You know, there's been initiatives from radio, record labels have set the tone from commercial industry tones. Whatever the agenda of the commercial empire, I know during the 90s, 2000, it has become much criminal elements. If you don't fit the criminal element, it's hard to get played. But it's a definitely commercial run company.
that controls that medium, Hani 7. Now, what's clearly a sign of today's time, when I told you we live in the best time, is most of the people, they're not reporting this, because why would they want you to know how the world is changing? But most of Hani 7 is even picking up the top song from the internet. Because the internet is such a force that people who had never no record label are now getting played. But some of those people are still have to fit the mold of what's commercially driven. Now, Dame Dash ran with Jay-Z. He's the man behind Jay-Z, Kanye West, Rockefeller Records. Did things, some good, some bad. But he was always an upstanding dude that made other people out. I could say that as we look at Berry Gordy, he was an example, prime example. But this was more about ownership from others, getting more people involved. I think that's why Jay-Z has acquired some of the skill set. Now, Power 105 has now recently years placed Hot 97 as top radio station, and it was made so because of this group called The Breakfast Club. Now, they took a risk, because I knew it was a risk, because they put Dame Dash on The Breakfast Club, and I know he would be one of the guys to challenge the status quo. He's very independent thinker. His father was influenced by the Nation of Islam. Al-Kamir, brother name, I don't want to give his father identity right now, but his father definitely was influenced. I know his father, the legend, the story of his father. I have brothers that and from our community that actually knew his father firsthand. But anyway, he goes on the radio station and he talks about ownership. Talks about how we are not in any situation, we don't own any of these culture institutions, from the radio stations to the icons that we celebrate. They don't put up their own money. So they're nothing but supervisors for the elite or the groups that's out here that's controlling the culture. And he said that they make it cool for us to look up to those who have jobs. And so many people were very angry by that. You know, many people, oh, who's he? This? You got to start from somewhere. You can't just be a boss. So they took it as him just saying that, you know, being independent, he's a boss. He had the luxury of that. He had a street background, I believe, before he came into success. So many say, oh, he was the same guy corrupting the neighborhood. So a lot of those want me to say my opinion on this issue from a religion means a life perspective. And I speak as Ismail Qadar. Do not say the whole staff has the same perspective. But I'm going to speak now because I haven't been on the show for a minute of Africa. What is my perspective on Dame Dash and his comments on being your own boss, being independent, having a legacy, quitting your job? I'm an entrepreneur myself. Well, I say this. I think Dame Dash was a little... He was speaking in a way because he's challenging a system that is far from humble. I'll use that word. He's in a system. He's talking to a system that's far from humble, and he's talking to a system that has done much dirt. And if you knew the dirt that existed, you might cry right now. You want to listen to this phone? You may just break down and cry. So that's. That's a perspective where Dame Dash is talking. But you guys, I feel, have some nerve, because the guys he's saying, he's not talking about so much everybody. Yes, he's giving you that general sense of, you know, those who have a job out here in society, you know, we could do more to be independent, which is key because, you know, you look at our neighborhood, we don't see too many, our own Starbucks, our own, we don't have an identity like Chinatown. So it is time to come off that rock, you know, come off that sleeping like we see in scripture with Job. Yeah, we see these things, followed by the will. It was time in scripture to realize that we are in a new time. But he's telling us that the guys you think is entrepreneurs have been handed, they are not putting up their own money. And it'd be making us that we follow personality driven people. But they really not, they don't have institutions. They have jobs. And I could break, I don't want to target any particular one rapper, but I could go across the board and show you how we, if we don't own distribution, we're not in control. We've been saying this for years. Imam Muhammad made his own tapes. He was his own man. He made his own bed. So we have to realize, don't underestimate what we have here as a community. Giving from importing suits to what we do at Shea Butter. So the majority of us are not living in that situation. But the majority of us don't are not seeing that position as really influencing standing up. So yeah, I might have my issues with, you know, you may have your way he brought the tone. You may, especially if you struggle with a job, you may have that. And I'm not, I do value everyone who has a job. You know, you contribute in any way possible. So we do value that. But today we have to teach our people to work smart and intelligent. So, you know, they used to tell us when we were slaves in the country, oh, Jenny, you don't work as hard as Henry. Henry, you don't work as hard as Tommy. So we wanted to work so hard because we got beat if we didn't work hard. And today's time, that backfired to many of the young men. They don't feel that, you know, a man, what I get out of working hard. And working hard is a great science for working hard, and we should be respected that we work hard. Don't make anybody make us feel guilty that we worked hard, that we built this country. But at the same time, the man means mine. And more than anything, and if you're talking about intelligence, you utilizing your mind. So we didn't say, he didn't say, oh, you better work smart. You ain't working as smart as Johnny. Create a new system for me. And a lot of times when we created a system because we weren't legal for the law, still got robbed the system. So I'm coming up on this hour. I want to close the show, but I just wanted to say that what we were promised was not working smart. We were working hard, and now we have so many people nowadays who pride themselves, but also are very dissatisfied. They work hard, and they don't seem to get the benefits of their work as the company does, billion-dollar company, working hard. So we see that slavery and indentured servitude is not just a system. We uniquely want to make it the condition of slavery that existed in America. No, that was the strangest institution of slavery. But slavery is a condition. It is real. It's a word. It's an institution. And we should understand that if we are not careful to address this issue of building our own, doing for self and kind, not just self and kind, creating jobs. Because I'm the only thing I would have said different with Damon is the job creation is important, but we should be dictating those jobs. We should have a community that we could, most of us can't even pick. We got one guy maybe could get you a job. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. We don't create jobs. We're not in control of the unions. I'm here every day. I have my own security company, and I still see in construction industry that there's a hidden hand working in accelerating other communities of people with job creation. But when you're not in a job, when you don't really run the job, you get the scraps. So by not being independent, we're not even affecting jobs. That's why the president goes to the Wall Street leaders and asks them to create jobs. He don't care just how much money they made. He looks at the money and as a sign that they can do this and do that. They can do that. For surely they could pay tax. For surely they could create that. He made this and that. So we want to make sure we want to make sure that we stay in tune with our intelligence in the time that we at now. It's going to require us to not just live and build an institution. See, what I mean by institutionalized, a lot of us, we smart when we're in school. And we want to go to the club on Saturday and Sunday. You see, you can't live in that state anymore. There's no more,
We are creating institutions, but our freedom does not exist in the institution. Some of us are message prone and church prone. You know, the message should own everything and be in charge of everything, and our freedom exists in the message. But when it go out, boy, oh boy, that's the world. No. We are here to influence society. That circular cubit around the house, that circle around that cubit, is to sell, show you to influence the seven heavens, the seven levels of society, the seven circuits of human destiny in the prophets, which is a new society, and we should circle that society with this, that house. So we are to influence our neighborhood, and I would tell you this, that we are going to do it. We're keeping it alive. There's so much success stories. You want more, you could come and contact me later on today on my Facebook page. It's my Uncle Dar. Give me Uncle Dar Gigante. We got a new music video that we're about to drop on the culture scene. I want to shout, give a respect to my man, Modern Day Prince, a film by Muhammad. He's traveling right now, listening to us. He's doing great work. I call him Renaissance Man. But it's great brothers, Iman Mujahideen Muhammad. Got brothers like that, brother Tyreek Ock, my brother from Maryland. It's just so many brothers right now and sisters, man. Sister Halima, my sister Yimna Kadar, Sister Bahir Hafiz. We got a lot of people, Sister Angela, one of my friends, dear friends. I'm just showing y'all, man, this is great efforts, great work. And start to write down your vision, okay? Because the founding fathers took two-fifths, they said, they took away from us. Everybody say three-fifths. Well, two-fifths, we see that there's evidence. And Benjamin Banneker responded to that claim. And that's another show. I'll go show on the almanac and how that established Wall Street. How our almanac established Wall Street and George Washington Carver. This is what I meant about economics, slavery is mission. Because there was cries when they said we were inferior. It was cries to address them on those issues. And that's another thing. George Washington Carver showed a whole nother with energy. With the peanut. The peanut wasn't just peanut. It represented energy, agriculture, energy, cultural energy, painting. Did all so much, most of the things today. But two-fifths. One of the fifths, we lose the rational mind, which we addressed on last 2 weeks ago in New Africa before we did the show on mental illness. We talked about the rational mind. After the rational mind is something I want to talk briefly before we get into this end of the show, the creative mind. They told our people, brothers, we lost creative abilities. Let me say that one more time. They told our people that for what they did and the environment that they created, through the strange institution of slavery, that they took away our ability to even imagine. I say create, but his word was imagination. But if you know anything about creation, you know that you must be imagining. You know, how could you do a vacuum? How could you do a computer if you don't imagine it? You don't imagine where to be because you're not looking at things for what it is. You're looking at things for what it could be. How could you build a plane without imagining? So if you're going to build New Africa, you think you can't, you're going to still have the old slave syndrome to not imagining? If you're going to build a better Whole Foods for our people, a better Starbucks, the Mosque Cares has an initiative. I don't think most of the community understands this initiative because they haven't imagined it yet. They're doing a series of recipes. But because so many of us have not had the responsibility to even own a restaurant, we don't understand the value of that system of just giving us recipes. And that was needed. Now, in the old time, people probably go as far to slaughter a man for a recipe. In the old world business, this is the way business, the world, they think. Trade secrets. Now here we are getting the best and shorter of recipes that are coming from our own creation. But it's going to take us to imagine what these stores could be in these local cities that carry some of the recipes.
or what our supermarkets could be that carries some of the recipes. So we have the environment. One thing we have to understand, we have it. We blessed with what I talked about with the Nation of Islam added, what Dame Dash is speaking about. And don't underestimate, like Savings Day, we went over that, of the impact that our community has made in two levels. One was to protect ourselves, protect our women, defense systems, which later the Panthers expanded. But I believe that they had great difficulties because of not being centered and being protected in the religious environment. And we had some of those great difficulties. I'm not sitting here subjecting ourselves, but their thing was almost created politically in its conception, which is a different base understanding. But we were created in believing God. Later on in the 60s, things went away. But we taught defense, and defense had a high effect. I think it's still on our people through Ferguson now, to the gangsters in the street. Everybody talking defense, but the raw right defense is the first defense that we've given in Revelation, and what we talk later about, being upright, not being a criminal, being upright. The first, you want to clean, you want to make sure the police don't shoot you up in Ferguson, clean your neighborhood. So upright, to be clean is offense. You know, if you want to be dirty, look, if you be dirty right now, you don't wash your body, you know how many creatures you're going to attract? You don't clean your room. You know how many creatures you're going to attract? So the first defense is to be upright. But that's what we gave in the nation, and we all was trying to be clean. We should restore that. You know, every time they catch me, brother, I try to be clean. And I encourage my brothers to live that life. But also, was due for self. And that went out to Berry Gordy. That went out to James Brown. That went out to the best that we have among us. And it's now still reciprocated itself to the modern time of doing for self. But don't underestimate those who are being influenced. So when you see somebody like Dame Dash, I know some of us want to say, oh, the Muslims, you know, he's good what he's doing, but he ain't got nothing what we're doing. We have to start to have shared freedom space, even among each other. Encourage good works. Imam Muhammad said we should be in a spirit that we encourage goodness we see in society. Had a show about Kendrick Lamar yesterday. I encourage that young brother. Keep doing what he's doing. I mean, I know he probably heard some things that inspired him. He said, not the niggas. We was the niggas. Oh, y'all got it wrong. We should understand as Muslims who the niggas is. The one that Prophet Muhammad, that invited the Prophet followers when they were being persecuted in our homeland, Ethiopia. One of the first words we used was Bilalian, identifying with that journey. Because Bilal also was a descendant of Ethiopia, away from his home, though, as a new type. Because he was not in his land. He was not in Ethiopia. He was away from his home, being treated as a slave for the Prophet liberated the whole continent of Arabia through Islam and revelations. But here's Kendrick Lamar putting reference to the culture and education. See what I'm talking about, culture and education, the rivers flow? Just referencing. And you think I'm going to say, oh, he ain't Muslim. He ain't got the Muslim name. You know, he don't make the salat. I don't know why. No, brother, stop being envious. Allah warned us in our prayer to not practice envy and hatred. Follow. And we ask protection from the creative environment. The creation itself, we ask for protection. But if you understood it a little better, maybe, inshallah, God willing, you understand it, that protection is also asking for assistance. Yeah, because God is behind the creation itself. We don't want to be influenced by created things. Things we create ourselves. The radio, the music, the TV. Because they all have things that would take us away from the remembrance of God. They have, especially if we believe in it as the source of our existence. But if we connected to God and asking God to protect us from that element within it, or that it becoming our source, we will be able to ascend and create a whole new world in creation. So I say that to say there are those among us, as I see as signs of this new Africa. And they, you know, to let y'all know how they coming at us with the new Africa, all of a sudden they all got these guys talking about they the new black. You know, and I'm not talking about our beautiful brothers, because I understand their strategy, as my brother Iman Mujahideen, because they got a task now to just come at that language. I'm talking about those who are out there saying they the new black, you know, Raven Simone, Pharrell. And I know that they sponsor these brothers and sisters because they see they scared of what's coming. And they've been very controversial. I think Common is now on the new list. But have no fear, brothers and sisters. And those are my brothers and sisters, too. I love y'all. Y'all part of this. Just miseducated, misinformed. That this new Africa is not going to be just a talking situation. Not going to be something you feel from a conversation. So this is what I want to encourage. Ownership, inheritance, going outside. They asked the man one time, what is, like, what do you mean by this new Africa? Like, what do you mean? Like, in terms of what reality do you mean? Like, skyscrapers? He said, like, what you see outside, and when there's skyscrapers, and, right? So we know that one of the things the prophet gave us, that he was seeing the end, the sign of the end of the time, would be the poor, lowly, almost, we would say, coming from the, we would say today, coming from the slave quarters. Well, you see the competing with the wealthy for the upbringing of the skyscrapers. We're here today. We have arrived. We should say praise to God, because the last shall be first. So we finishing at 8:22. I want to take some phone calls in the order of things, and I've been blessed to deliver some kind words, and hopefully it would do you justice. On Religion Meaning Lives, we try to discuss entertainment, economics, music, life, and course religion, as well as many other topics as it relates to African Americans past and present. Okay, so let me see who I got on the line, who I have on the line. I'm blessed to be received by. They want to input anything. We welcome your comments. We welcome your critique. Or if you just want to remain silent and listen, we welcome that. So I first have a caller from 267. I'll give the first three digits because I don't want to reveal your name to the whole audience, because you may want to keep it anonymous. And if you don't want to say anything, I'll give about 5 seconds. You don't say nothing within 5 seconds. I take it that you are just listening. So 267... 267-357, you're on Religion Means Alive.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, alaikum salam. I didn't even know that was you. I would have been at you.
No, it was melodious. It was excellent. Yeah, you know, it was a good flow. I still got a little background noise with the children here. But I just wanted to add to the recognition of what you presented today is asset to the collective, not just the collective soul, but the collective consciousness. Like you said, that creative. In fact, they say that in psychology. They say you have your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, then you have your creative conscious mind. So touching upon that is very, very important, especially for us nowadays. And I know when you said that, you didn't mean for us to be delusional and, you know, not realistic, you know, because, you know, the task that we have at hand is very, very challenging, and we have to be very strategic. But like you said, we also have to be very creative and intuitive as well. But I just wanted to add that little note to that. Appreciate the comments and the concerns, and I'm looking forward to the rest of what we got to do. I mean,
New Africa, New Detroit. That's my compadre.
Oh, yes, and you didn't mention it, but I guess I should mention it. We do have the theme for this year's convention. we also been, it's out there, make dua, you know, that it be fulfilled, that you've been selected to be the khatib for the Ramadan session. And we know that you have a lot for us during that very blessed and sacred month. So we look forward to that. But the theme has been confirmed, claim your inheritance. What we've been drumming up and addressing in our own private quarters is now for all of our communities. Yes, sir. It's now for all of our communities to adopt it and to make it their own. That's that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I just want to add to my beautiful brother, Imam Mujahideen Muhammad, is that claim your inheritance. We will be working on a tour to a city near you. So look out for that invitation, because we definitely want to just keep that discussion going on how this time, it's more to say. But I think the title speaks for itself. Claim your inheritance. Let me get to thank you, Imam Mujahideen Muhammad. That's my brother. Always a privilege. Actually, the co-host of the show, he had a lot to do today, and he got so many business numbers. I kind of miscalculated that one because he's calling from his office. Okay, could you, 410-622?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam, good brother. Is this the young brother in charge?
You already know, man. It's Brother Tariq.
Oh, man, you're my brother, man. It's part of the new life, the new world.
Right.
How you doing, brother? Anything you want to add? Open the discussion, brother.
I'm just saying, you know, just keep working hard, man. I love what you're doing. I love what I'm saying in the community. And I just hope everybody keep working hard and we get what we need to get.
Oh, man, beautiful words. Spy, thank you, my brother. Appreciate it, those kind words. And let you know, that's one of the bright young men. I could go in, I could keep telling you, if I had another show, I'd just go over people's, what they're doing, what they're working at. But sometimes certain things is good to just give a little taste. And you'll see. I think that's the best way to see some of these things. The proof is going to be, they call it, the proof is in the pudding. But these brothers, I know these are special brothers and sisters. We have a few more calls. I'll get to them coming up on this hour. 407-300. You're on Religion Means a Lot.
407-300. All right.
Okay, like I said, five seconds. Just I take it that our brother or sister was just listened to the show, and thank you. We appreciate you also. 702-671-671. Your Religion Means a Lot. And anything to add to the dialogue? Okay. Thank you too for listening. Yeah, so we're gonna close out. You know, I'm gonna keep it. This is culture, so I want to kind of close out with a little bit of Kendrick Lamar. I mean, he has me inspired, and I just want to share that. There's a change in time. I mean, they played it yesterday, and I think that's what the theme of the music I want to close out with. And we working on building our studio. We actually going to have a television show coming out soon. We working with independent media source to give y'all an independent, not owned by anybody, not owned by Disney, not owned by any corporation, not owned by, we independent, our own self. And I think that it's important to announce on the show that we should be in tune with brothers like Dame Dash who are talking about our language. That's what I meant to say. I hope I said it in the right way, and pray to God that it was delivered to you in the right way. Pray that you took in and you learned something, and I help inform you. And I just pray that we start to use, but what I mean about creative mind also is when I was with the children yesterday, I was blessed to see how they are in their human excellence, and we should be bringing out what is already inside them. They already will give us a lot if we just listen to them. And because so many of us have been destroyed with that ability to dream, that ability to see, that foresight,
we should. And another note is Imam Mujahideen Muhammad and myself. We also have great, you can contact us. We're distributing things for the mosque kids, especially books at our events. So you see us at a local event or you see us somewhere, we definitely have books. One of the great books I would want to say about the creative mind, about creation itself, is the history of Joseph. Very important for us to understand that as African American, and for people in general, as all people should understand that his story. But it's a very powerful story, I believe we can connect with. Imam W.D. Muhammad gave a lot of insight, wrote a book about that story itself. That's mentioned in the Quran and is also mentioned in earlier scripture. So I want to close out with Kendrick Lamar, The Black of the Berry, and I pray to God that you have a successful and most gracious time. Listen to it.